All right, people, we back. We had music when we started before.
Your man from Needles had it. It would have worked on Needles.
Yeah. Shout out to Needle, the app. It definitely would have worked on Needle. I love Needle, the app. We out there. And so we trying to get it popping. We're cool in the gang. We the biggest in the gang. Nobody's close. And so I turned it off, turned it on. Let me see if we can get the brother on. What's the Robert? What's the one, his main one?
The main one is Robert Cool Bell.
Robert Cool.
Mr. Dot Robert Cool Bell. Here you go.
No, I get it, Mr.
Dot.
Robert. Sent to Mr. Robert Cool Bell. Let's see if the brother comes on.
Yo! Listen, Tease fam. It's Prince Akeem. I'm trying to help him and his partner get on. So they sent a few requests from the Cool Grand Crew, but when they hit it, it says expired. So now,
he's not there.
He's not with me. He in Florida, but I'm trying to. So send a request.
And 10,000 requests.
I know, Joe. I know. Trust me, man. I'm going crazy. I'm in Florida trying to navigate man. Him. Pop's on a rap to you too, man. Rich Player, we all hooked this up.
Bro, I'm here. Right, what are you talking about? I got my questions right here.
Yo,
everybody's tuned in. The whole industry.
It's crazy. I'm on a DJ set right now. I had to leave the booth to come handle this. I got it on autoplay. So check it out.
Everybody want to know. Everybody tuned in.
No, we go. We here. But do this. Go to at Mr. But don't put the dot. Just at Mr. Robert Bell, not the dot, because that one's bugging.
But what about the Cool Grand? Mr. Dot. You're on Mr. Dot, Robert.
Right. But go to Mr. Don't put the dot. Just send a request to Mr. No Dot, Robert Bell.
Mr. Robert Bell.
Is there a way I can add more? I know you can put three people. Is there a way I can add
more? Let me try right now.
All right. Can I add a person?
Robert Bell.
Robert Cool Bell. Mr. Robert Cool Bell.
Mr. Robert Cool Bell. This shit crazy, yo. He got about 100 Instagrams, huh?
Yo, it's crazy.
The whistle is out.
Damn, man.
We got the whole family here tonight.
I gotta go to work, man. God,
hey, Joe.
I'm a.
You can't.
I'm afraid if I leave, you may disappear.
Don't go, brother. Don't go. Stay right there. Listen, living legend, what is good, Mr. Robert Cool Bell? He's freezing up. He got to walk around or something. We got to get this to go. I mean, the people want to know, man.
I don't know what's going down there in Orlando, man. What's going on? There you go.
And it's working now.
We good. I don't know. Am I back? Am I there?
Yeah.
Can we hear you?
Am I on here?
Yes, you are.
Wow, it was like lost in space, man, with the cyberspace. Something happened. What's up,
yeah.
Yo, man?
Let me tell you something. You from the 70s, man. This is excusable. Like,
hey, woo! Man,
it's a pleasure. It's an honor. There's not many words to describe the honor to be talking to you tonight, Throwback Thursday. You're beyond a living legend. You're to a point where it's not even an icon. I don't know. They ain't invent the word yet, but it's an honor to have you on the big, big show.
Well, it's an honor for me to be on the big, big show.
This is beautiful, man. All my producer friends, shout out Rashad, Diamond D, they all tuned in. Everybody's like, jumping in on questions. Everybody want to ask you questions. How hard was it making the transition from a soul funk group to more of like a disco sound later on?
Well, let me start like this, Joe. We started off as the Jazzy Acts. And then we moved to the Soul Town Band. And we were backing up a lot of talent in Jersey City that was singing Motown. So they were trying to be like the Motown Review. And we were the Soul Town Band. So we moved on from that, and we became Cool in the Flames. That was in 1966. And then what happened was you had James Brown and the Famous Flames. So we didn't want to have no problem with the Godfather. So what are we going to call ourselves, man? Well, I said, we've been doing funk, pop, jazz. So we turned around and said, let's call ourselves Cool in the Game. Cool in the Flames. From Cool in the Flames to Cool in the Game.
Man, that's amazing. Was there ever any competition with like maybe the Parliament or Earth, Wind, and Fire? Was there ever like a situation where y'all felt like that was your competition?
Well, we all knew each other. Not no real competition. I remember George Clinton when he was with the Parliament, and he had that here. I just want to testify, and. He came to us, he said, man, I'm going funkadelic. And that's when he did that mohawk haircut. And and then later on, he came with the mothership.
Let me ask you, who impressed you the most when you came up? Like, who would you say when your group was started and, you know, like me, Fat Joe came out, Jay-Z came out, Nas came out. Who was around your time, the class of whatever year or era you came out? And what was you most impressed by? Which one of them blew your mind? And you said, man, I never knew these guys was going to get to that level and make this type of music.
Well, we were, at that time, you had groups like the Ohio Players, of course, Earth, Wind, and Fire, the Commodores, and the P-Funk Mob. You know, those are the type of acts that we were on tour with. But before that, we went out on the, I don't want to use that word, on the bus tour. We had the OJs and Delphonics and the Intruders, and all of them would be packed on this bus riding into town.
That's that southern route.
Yeah, definitely. and you know what, Joe, you have to be careful with that southern rock, that route down there, because you had them hardheads down there. Boy, what y'all doing down here? You know, you stop and try to get some coffee, something to eat. You had to go to the bathroom in the back. You know, it was kind of rough back in those days.
Yeah, you seen that transition from segregation pretty much, right? And like now, you know, I always say we're like our ancestors' wildest dream. How did you see things come along? And all these years later, and how can we do better?
Well, it seems that things are slowly coming back. You know, the whole Black Lives Movement and everything that was going on during that time. You know, we had Nation of Islam. I was involved with that for a minute. Black Panthers and all the different organizations that was moving towards trying to be to move up, you know. And I mean, that was inspirational because you look at these leaders and what they were saying, Malcolm X, you know, then they had, you know, a lot of other strong leaders at that time, you know.
I mean, you guys, you rocked out for so long. What artists, let me ask you a question. I don't know if you know, but what artists have sampled your music? Who do you think sampled it the best? Because everybody has sampled you guys. Who do you think sampled y'all the best? What's your favorite song that an artist has sampled?
that's a tough question there, Joe. I mean, you had, well, everybody knows about Summer Madness and Will Smith, right? That became Summertime. That was a big record for us. And then we had with Diddy with with Mace, with the Hollywood Swinger. Tribe Called Quest, it was Nas, it was so many, man, you know, to the point that we had to put somebody on sample patrol.
You know, I had Kenneth Burke here last Thursday, and we were talking about Keep Rising to the Top and how many times that record has been sampled. And I asked him, I said, why do you think some old school artists don't like, you know, rappers sampling their music? And he told me probably the coldest answer in this whole show existence. He said, well, Joe, it's because they don't know math. Uh-huh. And because you let them sample, what's opening different streams of revenue. So I never understood why, you know, I didn't know if it was prior. Why did you say you embraced the youth and said, all right, rappers, you can sample my music?
Well, in the beginning, there's a lot of sampling was going on, but there was no control on that. And when I passed a bill in Washington where if a record company put your song out, they had to get clearance on that. So that kind of like opened up the door, because now we were getting paid for the sample. Before, like I said, it was like the wild, wild west. We had to put somebody on sample patrol. Catch that lick. But so after that, you know, a lot of people, it was a lot of clearance on the music. And a lot of other groups started sampling our music.
Let me ask you a question. Let's go into because, you know, I tell everybody I'm interviewing you. You know, they all want to bring up JT, you know, who y'all brought in as a lead singer. And, you know, as a kid, I used to think he was cool from Kool & the Gang. I'm telling you, in an innocent, you know, when I'm in elementary and I'm watching y'all, I'm thinking he's cool in the Gang, but he was the lead singer. There are rumors that I'm as clean as possible. But there was rumors he felt like he got bigger than the group, stuff like that. Why did y'all part ways?
Well, I mean, he had some managerial problems at the time, people that was managing us. And other acts, you know, you had Michael Jackson, he went out and did his thing, became successful. Lionel Richie, he went out and did his thing, became successful. So I guess he felt that that's something that he can do. I always told him, you can do that, but stay in the band. You want to do a solo project? Do a solo project. But let's stay into the band. You know, and that didn't quite happen. So,
you know, I've always loved unity and loyalty, right? As a fan of all genres of music. But why couldn't you be my little brother Khaled? I put him in the game. He got We the Best music, but he's still my family, right?
Right.
And Kanye West, I always loved that he did his own thing, but he was still by Jay-Z's side. You know, there's a way to be solo or do whatever you have ambitions of doing, but still keeping it real with the home team. You know.
Right.
So that's what you were saying. Like, yo, you can do your thing, but always be cool in the Gang.
Because some of the rock groups were doing that. Like Phil Collins, he was with, I think, Genesis. And he went and did his own thing, but he stayed with the band, you know. And so that's what we wanted to do. But, you know, it's like you live and learn.
The whole culture of the music business to play that game, divide and conquer. You know, and it's almost weird when you see somebody. I remember when Lil Wayne, we met him. Lil Wayne was 12 years old, down with Cash Money, and he doing all his bling bling, all that. And then his contract was up. And I remember the whole entire industry buzzing, saying, is he going here? Is he going there? Is Jay-Z going to sign him? Is he this? Is he this? And he wound up signing back with Cash Money. And everybody thought that was like a miracle because he stood with the guys who put him in the game. And I've always looked at it like, yo, he did the right thing. He stood with his family. you know, at the time. It's crazy that in this industry, when you do the right thing, you could be looked at crazy too.
Yeah. But after that, JT did come back for a second run around the 1995. We did a reunion back together again. And it went for 5 years, and then, you know, then people started talking again and said, oh, man, I can still probably do this. Because he wanted to be Cool in the Gang featuring JT Taylor. Well, he left with just Cool in the Gang.
So, and he have a big problem. Like, even me, I argue sometimes with some of my best friends. So I got a friend. I'll just scenario. Yo, I'm sorry. I'm not going to say your name. But I got a friend who produced a song for me. You know, one of my best friends on earth. But he wanted to get credit now. Like, he's a featured artist on it. And I never had an argument with my friend in my life. And I was telling him, like, yo, bro, you're really not on this record. You're not a featured artist. You produce it. Yeah, you produce. You get your pay. You get paid. You get your royalty. But you're really not even an artist on this record. It's a new thing where the producers now, 2021, want to be featured artists on records they produce. And it's sad because I love my brothers, but I never like agreeing to stuff that really just ain't true.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, I mean, so y'all bumped heads with him being featuring JT or whatever the case may be. But we wish him well. He was a major part of the group. He put it down for the group. A question that comes to mind. Have you been seeing these verses?
Oh, yeah. The one with the Isley Brothers and Earth, Wind & Fire was quite interesting.
Moment of my life. I'm on vacation. We watched it. We was in the Bahamas. I watched the whole thing. I could not believe. I felt like I died and went to heaven when I seen that verses. It was just so amazing. Who would Cool in the Gang go at in the verses?
Well, they kept saying before that happened with the Isley Brothers that Cool in the Gang and Earth, Wind & Fire would be a good versus, but that has happened already. I would say probably the Commodores.
Ooh.
I would say, yeah, the Commodores.
The Commodores with Lionel Richie?
Well, that's another story. Now, if you got Lionel Richie back and JT came back, then that'd be a very interesting versus there.
Man, that'd be beautiful. Let me ask you a question I ask everybody. It's a complicated one, and I know it changes daily, but who are your top five groups of all time? Who are your top five favorite groups of all time?
Whoa. Well, group singers too, or just groups?
Groups.
Well, I would say Earth, Wind & Fire, of course. Parliament Funkadelic. Parliament Funkadelic, Ohio Players, they had that funk thing going on. Let's see, a little different, but from New York, Mandrill.
From New York, who?
Mandrill.
I don't know these guys.
Oh, Mandrill is the mix of funk and rock. Mandrill from New York. Yeah.
I gotta look them up now.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, Cool in the Gang.
That's crazy, man. Are you guys thinking of still touring, or are you chilling?
Well, things are starting to come back again. We only did 3 shows in the last year and a half. But things are starting to come to the table. Matter of fact, 4th of July weekend, we're doing a show at the Hollywood Bowl with the L.A. Philharmonic Orchestra. So it's like a classic evening with Cool in the Gang. So, and the 3rd was when our very first record came out. Our very first record came out July 3rd, 1969. So that should be a quite interesting weekend with the 60-piece orchestra. We have done a couple others with orchestras, but it's very interesting to see how they come together and how those guys play funk, you know, like Funky Stuff or Hollywood Swing or Jungle Boogie. I mean, they really get into it, you know, with those strings and those French horns and, you know, it's a hell of an experience.
Yeah, I think the Temptations, you know, we was talking about JT earlier. I think David Ruffin, you know, sometimes certain people could get bigger than, or think they're bigger than the group. Huh? The ego could be your strongest asset or it could be a downfall as well, huh?
Yes, you can, you know. But, you know, we have been blessed because we started as a band. And when we had singers in the band, and now we're back to the band with singers, but they also play an instrument. So it's all the band. and that's working for us right now.
You know, that's a beautiful thing. And how you feel, you know, today I just went to a school in the Bronx. You know, I'm from the Bronx. They hit me up, MS363, and the little kids is protesting. They trying to build the school and the only playground around there. And one little girl got up there. I wish I knew her name. And she stopped. She went to speak on the mic. And she said, "Fat Joe, my father loves you." Right? And so I'm sitting there. And she said, "No, you got to understand. My father loves you." And you know, I'm from the Bronx. I get it. But it was so heartwarming. And it touched me so much looking at this young lady say that. And at what point does it get to you? Like, now you're walking around getting your roses everywhere. Like, now, before you was like, "Yo, they got to respect me. I'm going to play." But now it's like, you know, feel harmonic. Like, it's just like you walk through like, "All right, yeah, we the legends. Cool in the gang." Do you ever get choked up? Could you remember a moment that something happened to you where somebody was paying homage to you or giving you your flowers, and you was just like, "Wow!" Because you know you hear these compliments all the time. What was the moment somebody complimented you where you was like, "Wow"?
Well, I would say Legends Award, the BET Soul Train Legends Award. You know, that was something that we felt very good about. In terms of our audience, I mean, we won American Music Awards, and we won a Grammy. But those fans, when you deal with that, you're dealing with our fans of the 70s. You know, we call them the gangheads that loved Jungle Boogie and Funky Stuff and Funky Jungle Granny and Breezy Phone and See a Twat Quilly. I have to say another one, Joe, was that when we played, and my son actually, Hakeem was with me on that one. We played in Kenya, and it was for AIDS awareness. And they walked up, 500,000 people walked up to that show. And we did a little thing called No Glove, No Love. So he said, "You guys got to protect yourself, man." And that's what it was all about. We was on the rail, and one guy called up on the station and said, "Hey, man, you know, I make love, but I wear a glove, man." I said, "Well, you better keep wearing a glove." But that was 500,000 people in Kenya, Africa. I just came back from Africa. I was in Zimbabwe about 2 weeks ago.
You were playing over there, or you just went to visit?
I went to visit. I went over there to promote some of the cool champagne, because there's not that many cool games there, shows. But also, we're doing something for Muhammad Ali. They're doing a museum there. And we're also doing the African Liberation Museum in Zimbabwe. So that's something that we're working on now. So I got to say it right now, Zim is cool. It's cool to go to Zim now. And all of Africa, man.
Now, you know, I've been to Zimbabwe before. I've been pretty much all over Africa.
Okay.
I could understand. I've done shows before there was Instagram with 180,000, 200,000 people. So I know what you're talking about. They come out for real.
Oh, and yeah.
I remember I didn't have no way of proving to people that this happened. Like, just, it was just so many human beings out there, and but we didn't social media. And I remember coming out. I remember one time I had a show. It was in Tanzania. Tanzania is the furthest place I ever been. And I remember it was so quiet, right? And it was like a soccer stadium. And I'm turning the corner going to the stage. I'm hoping there's one fan because it was so quiet, right? No, and I turn the corner, I just see like a mountain of people. They going crazy. And I'm like, oh, thank God somebody came. Like, but it was 100, 200,000 people on the whole soccer field. You know, Africa, they know how to show love, man. They appreciate American artists and what we bring to the game.
Yeah, and it's hard to build again, though. I mean, the new sort of movement, the whole African beat, a lot of artists are dealing with the sounds of Nigeria and all other parts of Africa. And the whole thing, you know, with Black Lives Matter, that's good, because it maybe will bring us back to Africa, to the motherland.
And they always tell them, yo, forget Black Lives Matter, come back over here.
You ain't got to keep it going both ways. Yeah.
Over here.
I agree with you. Lives matter, Africa and America. We all want unity. We all want force. You know, we had a song called Higher Planes back in the day. I don't know who sampled that one, but it was about higher planes of music. And that the fact that, you know, the lyrics was, we've been down too long. Getting down too strong, but we got to lift.
He froze. He'd be all right. Maybe somebody called him. Maybe somebody called him.
His son's telling the other one. DJ?
It was DJ. It was all three of us. No, he left. And it's just us. Man, I want to say bye the right way. You know, he froze. Ah, listen, guys, Robert Cool Bell, an incredible moment for me. You know, as I was looking at him, I was reflecting of all the years I've listened and partied with my family to Kool & the Gang's music, all the award shows, all the beautiful music. All the beautiful music, man, that they brought to the game, man. And he looks amazing. I mean, I hate this term, but but in this case, it's so true because it seems so corny when they say black don't crack. Like, right? They've been saying this shit since I was born, right? But when it comes to this man, black don't crack. He looked young as hell. God bless him, his family. Throwback Thursday. This show, we deal with legends. We deal with uplifting the people. There is no such thing as ageism on the Fat Joe Show. I will bring you Mulatto. I will bring you Uzi Vert. I'll bring you Kodak Black. And I'll bring you Kool from Kool & the Gang. I mean, we got to hear from everybody. They teach us to not embrace and not love our legends, but we got to embrace and love our culture and know where we came from to know where we're going. Know where you came from to know where you going. And you don't know who I know. You don't know who I know. And I wish I would have told Mr. Robert Cool Bell bye-bye the right way, but the thing fell through. Listen. Let your darkest moment bring your most clarity. If you go through something tough and your family, your so-called friends aren't there for you and they're not sticking by you, when you get back on your feet, don't lie to yourself. Stay away from these people. God, love God. Good times and bad times. We only call on God when we're going through something. How about when he blessed you and you having a normal day. Shout out to my mother, my father. I didn't talk to them today because I've been dealing with the kids and getting cursed at. Not cursed at, but screamed at for helping the kids. And so we got to learn that. There's one thing to be an activist. It's one thing to bring up points. But when you call out for help and the people come help, you don't really, like, take shots at them. You know, because they're there for you. I'm often putting myself in the middle of things that nobody in my position would do. And so, you know, I get it, but I'm all about the kids. I'm all about the community. MS363, shout out to Ruben Diaz, the borough president. He activated everybody and got it together. So they went from building a park, building a school over the park, to now they talking. Now we in a discussion, a debate, and trying to get some movement done. And thanks to the kids, I'm so proud of the kids of MS363 because your voices have been heard. I'm proud of the kids contacting us. I'm proud of them because they knew how to move the needle. I, once again, am not a politician, just a regular guy. I come out there for the people, stand next to them, and show them love. For the people, by the people. Oh, you a smooth guy, man. Let me tell you something about 9/12. That means you have 40 minutes to get to where you're going. Yeah! Big Rich, the player. God bless you guys. Yo, Rashad, Diamond D, love you guys. I know this was big for y'all. You know, you sampled Ladies Night and for Little Kim. Oh, yes, it's Ladies Night. You know what? I'm going to have Ted Smooth tomorrow. Tomorrow night, I got Eric Adams. He's running for mayor of New York City. We have to talk to him because most likely he's going to be the mayor of New York City if you get out there and vote. So we want to hold him accountable. We want to show him love. And we want to see what his plans are for the community. Love you guys. This is the biggest show in the game.